got you shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever.
Hey everybody, good morning. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live from the Business Radio X Networks every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30. Thanks for joining us during your lunchtime, or if you're just about to start to have lunch. We've got an exciting guest on today, Stan Friedman, who we'll bring on in just a minute, who's the president of FRM Solutions, a franchise-centric technology, and we're going to talk all about that today. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who I'll bring in just a minute, and Joey is back with us from KSU. What do they do, Joey? Let you cut class today?
I have class in the evenings, actually, so it all works out.
It all works out. Either way, your professor's here, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But that's what do we do on the Shrimp Tank? Listen, every single week, we bring you some of the brightest and best CEOs across the state of Georgia. We talk about the do's and don'ts of growing, running, and starting a business to help you become a better entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur. And the fact is, in just a couple of days, we're going to have tomorrow, we're going to have a new president of the United States, and we're going to see what's going to happen to entrepreneurship as jobs come back to America. And I don't know if America's going to get great again or not. It's been pretty great for some of us entrepreneurs, but I think the world is going to get even better. You're going to see tax laws change and a whole bunch of stuff. So, Chris, tell me, and for those of you that don't know Chris Hanks, if this is the first time that you're listening to our program, he's a celebrity. I call him a celebrity professor here, a celebrity in this city, because listen to this. A lot of people don't know this, but Kennesaw State is getting on the map and getting on the map quickly. Why? Because Chris Hanks, who's the founder and executive director of now the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, is creating one of the greatest entrepreneurial programs for students in the United States. And it is amazing. There are now hundreds of kids, right, Chris, that are going through this, and you can actually get a degree in entrepreneurship. Is that accurate?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. You can get a bachelor's of business administration in entrepreneurship at good old Kennesaw State University. So we are the first and only in the state of Georgia, and that's a fun thing to lead, and it's fun to see the excitement, how entrepreneurship represents a possibility of something better for all of these young folks. And how they're coming and they say, look, I don't want to spend the rest of my life facilitating the dreams of somebody else. I want to build my own dreams. So how do I do that?
Well, it's amazing stuff. And I understand that soon the KSU 100 is going to start. So I'd love to be able to tell folks a little bit about what that's all about. And, I guess, can anybody get involved in that? Or is it just students that are in the school?
Yeah, only you have to be enrolled in KSU, or we just expanded this year, one of our strategic partners. So there are colleges that are saying, look, we love what you're doing with entrepreneurship. We want to sort of help with that or get your help with that. And so we've started partnering with some educational institutions so those folks can participate as well. But it's primarily for students part of Owl Nation. Are you familiar with that term, Ted?
I don't know. What's Owl Nation? Is that what you are? Is Owl Nation?
Joey?
It's the start. Yeah, hootie hoo. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, hootie hoo. What is
we are the Owls. What's Kennesaw hoo-dee-hoo? State Owls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's our, I see.
Yes. So it's Owl Nation.
Yeah. We have a football team, so it's kind of a big deal.
The halftime show by Hootie and the Blowfish. Is that what it is?
We have a live owl mascot.
Do you really?
Yes, we do.
Well, you ought to bring it right here on the Shrimp Tank. Can you bring the owl? Will Kennesaw State lend you the owl for
an
hour?
Yeah, the first time I met the owl, the trainer told me to just don't move because I think the owl saw a mouse like way in the distance. So he said, don't move. So yeah.
And Joey, so what are you doing at KSU? What's your favorite class right now in the entrepreneurship program?
Well, I'm taking entrepreneurship 4001 right now, which is...
4001? There wasn't a 1001? It started at 4001?
We made the numbers bigger to make it sound cool.
I see.
Yeah, it doesn't make you sound smart.
Inflate the numbers, inflate the GPA. That's how you get on the map.
Just gotta do the work. If you're a parent, wouldn't you be more impressed if your son was taking entrepreneurship 4001 versus 1001?
My son tells me I have a 4.9 at KSU. I thought the scale was to 4.0. He goes, no, it's a lot higher now.
We want to put in the work. But right now, we're learning about the entrepreneurial mind. Last class in specific, we were talking about your why and defining that so you can move forward and identify your goals. And so it's just been really impactful because every class is filled with something that you can take away and act on, not just something to memorize and study for to fill in the bubble on a test, right? But something that you can take and work on starting a business, work on helping other people start businesses and pursue their passion. So I just really love the application factor of each class.
Well, you listen to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We're going to bring on Stan Friedman in just a minute, a very, very successful CEO. We're going to talk about this business of franchising. But Chris, I thought before we bring Stan on, I left a meeting this morning and I'm still trying to digest what I sat through. You know, it's one of those meetings where you say that you're going to be meeting at somebody's condo, which you're always not quite sure what that's going to be. And actually, we got pitched on putting money into a venture capital fund, which I cannot do, given the business that I'm in. But this whole fund, I think, was interesting for this dialogue today and maybe interesting for Stan in talking about franchising, because the pitch was about an early stage venture in cannabis.
In cannabis.
In cannabis. Wow. In here. And the notion that the fact that there's now, I think they said either 8 states that are recreational legal, and D.C., of course, Marion Barry would have it no other way. And you have about 28 states that are medical marijuana, that inevitably the fall of the curtain will happen and that cannabis will be legal in every single state in many ways, anywhere from having, sprinkled buzz on your coffee when you make the Keurig. Not that Lee Heisman would not do that, so he'll do it on a Chemex. But still, nonetheless, it would be the same. Or just simply to people who are eating gummy bears. And I guess, you know, one of the questions I thought about, as it might pertain to the students at KSU, it might be an interesting class, and I'd be, curious what Stan thinks about this as it evolves, is that if you have a business idea, but is it in a highly speculative regulatory outcome that we don't exactly know what's going to be happening with banking and finance. We don't know where all the regulations will fall. Will it fall in the states? Will it fall in the federal government? Most of the businesses today are mobsterish because they're basically collecting cash. In fact, Kurt and I today saw what I believe is going to be the first PayPal for pot. I believe I said it all at one time. But what do you tell a student who has a business that could be immoral for some people? It technically in some states and federally is illegal. Is this the kind of business that they bring the idea in a KSU entrepreneurship class that you say, okay, well, here's how you navigate that?
Yeah. Well, we actually had that issue last semester. Students came and wanted to start a business where they're delivering alcohol and purchasing alcohol and delivering it. And it's like, okay, well, that's not legal. you kind of have
this
to work
is an underage
some,
delivery service. Well,
I don't know how strict they would be about carding and, going to get the alcohol and delivering it and distributing alcohol. So yeah, we had to talk through the legalities and say, hey, look, okay, I love the fact that you're excited, but that's illegal. We had somebody this semester too, cake decorating from the home, right? But you can't do that without the commercial kitchen license. So we work for them, say, okay, you know what? It's great that you're starting and that's wonderful, but you know what? Here's the process to sort of, make sure that you're legal, make sure you're following all appropriate regulations and rules and laws. So we definitely guide young minds in that. So Joey, don't get any grand ideas.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, Joey, I'll be lobbying for Professor Hanks to bring me in for a cannabis class. So I wanted to bring on Stan Friedman today. He's our guest. He's the president of FRM Solutions, a franchise-centric technology dealing with franchisees and entrepreneurs. And I'm wondering, Stan, you gave us an unbelievable background in the beginning. You actually has a radio background, which I don't know if we've had a guest that's had that yet. So how did you just decide to get into the business of helping franchisees or building this type of technology?
Well, I didn't build the technology, and actually it found me. The business found me. Franchising as a business found me. I spent a lot of years in broadcast doing what most people in broadcast want to do, get behind a microphone and talk.
Right.
Quickly evolved to understand that the money is made in radio by selling commercials, not by being the guy reading them. And so my career in broadcast really evolved through sales and promotion, and it was through selling a client in South Florida that was a real estate broker commercials on my station that I learned of a thing called ERA, being a franchised company. Mm. I used to see the broker's name on his signs and it had this ERA logo, but then I'd see other broker names on signs that also said ERA. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what's this ERA thing? And I learned about franchising through this ERA broker, who told me that there's a bigger entity than he's part of. I wound up selling the ERA brokers, a campaign throughout South Florida. And the person who was responsible for the region suggested to me I was wasting my time in radio, that anybody who could talk sense to a real estate broker and actually get him to listen to you can do much better selling real estate franchises. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. And over the course of 2 years, I was trained and became one of the most successful franchise development person for ERA in the Southeastern wow. region. And that was the beginning of a whole new career for me. And a career that I might add makes a difference in the lives of people, which I never felt the 30-second commercial did.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I know a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with franchising and they don't realize what a big deal Stan is in the franchising world. Can you just like explain to sort of the common person what in the world is franchising? Because I hear so many people try to define it who are often wrong.
Yeah, well, the problem is that most people in the world, even those who work within franchising, are sometimes wrong about that, Chris. And we've made a concerted effort this year with Aziz Hashim, who came to KSU.
Yeah, he sure did.
As Absolutely. Chairman of the IFE, to try to get that message out, to help people understand that franchising is about small businesses. It's about people in their own communities that own and operate a business, but they're operating the business under the operating system and the license and the trademarks of a larger entity. So if you are a Subway owner, you own your store and you're operating and selling sandwiches and doing all the things that you do in your business, but you don't own Subway. Subway has licensed you to use their trademarks and has caused you to become affiliated with them to the point where you will follow their operating systems and deliver an experience to the customers that's consistent with the brand's promise. So that's what it is. It's all about growing a brand and growing your business at the same time, being in business for yourself, but not by yourself, having an operating system, having a platform behind you that doesn't actually assure your success, but it mitigates against your failure.
So, yeah. So Stan, I was going to say, for somebody that's out there listening to the show, who's, you know, a entrepreneur trying to become an entrepreneur, and they're thinking about getting into a franchise, is there any level of screening or metrics that you would give them to try to assess? I know that if you pick up Entrepreneur Magazine, you can buy anything from a gumball machine business all the way to getting a Jana King. How do you recommend that they even sort of screen and sort what might be a legitimate, reasonable franchise versus something that may be a Ponzi scheme?
The best way to do that is to go look in the mirror and do some introspective before you do your extrospective. I mean, really, you want to figure out what is it in life that it matters to you. If the best thing to do to start assessing what a good franchise might be for a person is for them to consider, if they hit the lotto and never needed to work a day in their life, never had the need for a penny to come from anywhere that they had to worry about ever again, what would you wake up tomorrow morning with passion and fire on your belly to get up and do? What would get you out of bed screaming, waiting, can't wait to get started doing blank? Whatever that is the kind of business that you should look to get into. If you're a purpose-driven person, you love working with kids, you know, look at a sports franchise or something that works with children developmentally. If you're into taking care of people and you care about seniors or elders, look at, you know, the kinds of elder care programs that are out there. Go where your passion is, because second to money, the most important thing you've got to bring is fire in the belly.
It's so true, because some people think they're going to be cocktails and shakers like Tom Cruise and be down in the Bahamas, you know, making drinks. But I think the reality is there's a lot of people that believe, like you were mentioning Subway, that owning one Subway, they can make a fortune. When in reality, it's really very difficult, isn't it, to make a lot of money by owning a one single standing franchise?
It can be, but there are many opportunities out there where enough top line and bottom line opportunities are available. But the truth is, multi-unit has become the way of the land, and more people are buying multi-unit or even multi-flagged opportunities where they're starting out with one brand and then maybe bolting something else onto it to extend their day part or to extend the opportunity that they've got for the rent that they're paying 24 hours a day. But maybe their prime time day part is only lunch.
Right.
So what can I do to extend my day? What can I do to extend my opportunity? And so you'll find people either bolting on or adding to their initial single unit operation.
So most people that I found in my experience, when you say franchise, they immediately think of food, you know, like we talked about Subway or McDonald's. But they don't realize that the breadth of how franchising just dominates all these other industries. What's the most interesting industry right now in the franchising world from your perspective?
Well, cannabis.
Is it really?
I mean, you brought up something up that I've actually been I've been watching, and I've had a couple of interesting opportunities to explore, as you might have had today, the opportunity to look at some of these businesses, and there is a lot of gray between the black and white. And I might point out that what you talked about in your opening comments about that illegal in some places, yes. But immoral is a question of judgment and subjectivity, you know?
Right, it is.
Who's to judge what is immoral other than and this is where the alignment of vision, values, and ethics in any franchise business is so critically important, because I don't care who you are and what location you think is the greatest location in the world, that maybe on Sundays every week or every month, Sundays at this location, there are zillions of people within an arm's throw of that location. You're never going to talk a Chick-fil-A into saying, yep, you can do that there on Sunday, because their values say, uh-uh. So for them, immoral. But for everyone else, who's to say?
Right.
Businesses are open on Sunday. I think the medical marijuana business is extremely, extremely interesting. And for anyone who gets into it, just get into it early and get out the same way, because to the point you made, who knows where it's going to go with the states and how that may look. I will tell you, a lot of professional athletes are extremely interested in the medical marijuana business. And for the right reasons.
Ricky Williams.
I really think it's for the right
That's
reasons.
Right.
When you look at all the opiates problems and you look at all the problems that these guys are having with their bodies failing them in later life, medical marijuana may look like a small play compared to the opiate problem and the addiction problems we're seeing with heroin and you know, really major drugs.
Plus, Hanks, those 2 a.m. drug busts won't show up so bad anymore, because really, it won't matter. They get busted with the marijuana. There's like a marijuana story with a professional athlete every week. Guy had a bag. Wasn't mine. It was in the airport.
I'm actually looking at, I'm seeing concepts that are coming that are not just looking to dispense and to do the cash business, but they're looking to bring physical education or physical training and gymnasiums and workout programs that will incorporate marijuana into the routine.
That's amazing.
And athletes are all over it.
Hmm. So you mentioned having that passion in your belly earlier to motivate you to make a difference. Can you summarize maybe in one sentence, like your personal mission statement, what that was when you got out of radio and got into real estate franchising? And then if that personal mission statement has changed?
I think my personal mission statement has been to do well by doing good. And I've done that in service to the International Franchise Association. I've done that through my work in diversity. I've done it with professional athletes transitioning into franchising. As a supplier now, I continue to do that because I'm sitting here talking to you. So it's all about having a purpose and paying forward by paying back and paying back by paying forward.
There's business owners who are listening that may be thinking about expanding by being a franchisor. What advice would you give them?
If they're thinking about being a franchisor or franchising?
Actually franchising their business?
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about franchising your business as a franchisor, the first thing to prove up is concept, you know, that you've got a going concern that works, and that it doesn't require you in the business day-to-day for it to continue to work. So proof of concept to me, if you wanted to be a franchisor, would be to own multiple locations of whatever your business is and have people operating those and running those profitably without you in the business every day. Because operating a business and even growing your own business is not the same as scaling your business. And scaling your business is what franchising is all about. It's growing and growing for sustainable growth. It's a different set of rules. It's a different set of day-to-day disciplines. And typically those who can grow a business are doing things differently than those who are operating the business. So I say if you've got proof of concept and your systems work and you actually can prove that you've got ops manuals and training manuals and that you've got systems reliance, not people dependence, your business is franchisable.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors and we come back right here on the Shrimp Tank. Again, just for you folks that are listening today, you can always get down a replay of all of our podcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com, and you can download us on iTunes or Shrimp Tank. Better to listen in the car like Stan knows than terrestrial radio. But we'll be right back with Stan Friedman, the president of FRM Solutions, talk more about franchising in our Hot or Not section right after a break from our sponsors.
I want to tell you about Savant. In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix those nasty computer issues? At Savant, they have the experts to work on your network to make your company run more efficiently. Max PCs, mobile solution, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 for more information. Call today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, and Joey from KSU. We're also sitting with Stan Friedman, who's the president of FRM Solutions. We're talking a lot about franchises today. And I don't know. I heard Savant at the break here. Would Lee Heisman allow his staff to do bong hits if marijuana was legal in Georgia? I don't know about that. But I do want to ask you this one question, Stan, as we get into our hot or not section, which is, I think is very interesting in here. And then we'll get into hot or not, like as you develop out a franchise, how important is it in general, just in business, but for franchisees to have what you were mentioning at the break with Chris, these systems and operations manuals, how important is that in building out a franchise?
How important is breath to life? It is what you're buying. I mean, it is what you have. You're buying an operating system. You're buying a roadmap for success. You're buying everything that will enable you to confidently put your head down and execute something that's got proven success behind it. So the franchisor is heads up. Franchisor is the steward of all the resources. He's bringing all the things to the table that will assure your success. Your job is to reach into the toolbox and use those things that the franchisor is providing and execute better every day.
All right, well, let's do a hot or not in here. So since you do a lot of franchises, a hot or not to have a business plan, even if you're going to do a franchise?
Yes.
You still need one, even though you're buying a franchise. They don't hand you a business plan.
No, go try to find a banker that's going to loan you the money to operate them or open that business without that business plan. Good luck.
All right. Are franchise brokers hot or not?
Hot. And franchise brokers are hot because if for no other reason, what they do very, very, very well is they help those candidates take the look in the mirror and do the introspectives and learn about what matters to them and help them narrow down the field of things that they think they're interested in. Well, you know, if you're a consumer and you find a brand interesting to you, you might run out and think that's the business to own. Well,
I thought that with Pinkberry.
Yeah.
When I originally saw it on the West Coast, and now I think, not so good business. Then yeah. I don't like it.
Just know that making sausage and eating it are not the same. It's just the way it is the world. Brokers are hot. Brokers help you figure out who you are and what you're about and what will make you happy.
So can you explain just real quick just what a franchise broker is and from the potential franchisee side, do they have to pay?
When I heard that, I was thinking it's like there's like a stub of franchise owners? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so some people may think that. So
Franchise brokers get paid, and they get paid very well. They do not get paid by the franchise candidate. They get paid by the brands to whom the candidate, you know, signs on and becomes a franchisee. And the franchisors pay, you know, as much as half of the initial franchise fee to the broker for bringing them a very well-vetted person who's got both the left and the right side of their brain engaged in what they're getting into, and they understand full well everything there is to understand about the business they're embarking upon. They really help mitigate against failure.
Who's your favorite franchise broker?
Right here in Atlanta, I would say that my favorite franchise broker here, probably two of them, a guy named Mark Mayette and Leslie Cuban.
Gotcha.
Hot or not, company-wide meetings or departmental?
Yes.
Both.
For different reasons, how do you do without both? I mean, departmental meetings, so you have your own KPIs and you've got your own critical initiatives that you've got to do that roll up to the bigger picture. If you don't take those numbers and roll them up to something, then somebody's not working on the business that should be. So both.
Hot or not, bring family members into the business?
On a one-off basis, that's just something that really needs to be looked at for the right reasons, yes, and for the wrong reasons, no.
Ma, the meatballs. We get them right there at Subway. Could you imagine bringing in your mother there? I said, I bought a Subway franchise. What's my job? Make the meatballs. No, they're made already, but... sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
I mean, look
right?
at, you asked me about my favorite broker. Look at Leslie Cuban. I mean, her dad, Phil, was at this a lot longer than she has been at it. So, you know, if you're coming in, look, it's like anything else. Right people, right reason, right time for the right reason. If they happen to be your relatives, so be it. But if they're doing it because of that or you're encroaching on a good business decision by a familial one, not a good idea.
Master franchising, hot or not?
Out of the U.S., yes. In the U.S., don't go near it.
You wouldn't go near it in the U.S. Can you explain what it is?
Well, it's defined differently by several different people, but master franchising is in the U.S. referred to as sub-franchising. And sub-franchising is giving somebody else the right to make decisions about who would be good for your brand or not. They buy a territory for the purposes of reselling single units within that territory. Not a good idea in the U.S.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, coming to you live every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30, right here in the Business Radio X Networks in Sandy Springs. If you haven't been down here, you ever thought about hosting a radio show? This is a great place to do it. Now, you may be no good at first, but then eventually you get better. That's what happened to Chris and I. We ended up doing a radio show here called The Shrimp Tank, but we have a lot of fun doing it. And you can always download a podcast, our podcast on shrimptankpodcast.com, or download us on iTunes, listen to us in the car. When you are thinking about doing things like a franchise, and we bring on guests like Stan Friedman talking about this, you aren't going to learn any better information by going on the internet. You're probably going to learn worse. That's why you need to learn from people like Stan. I guess one of my hot or nots on here is, do you think franchise owners should go try to raise capital to get into the franchise? Or is it better for them to try and go at getting a bank loan?
Are you talking for the franchisor or the franchisees?
For the franchisee. For somebody who says, you know, I know something like McDonald's is more expensive. You need a lot of capital. But if I need to get $100,000 of capital to pay my fees, get in, do my build outs, whatever may be the case, is it better for me to try and raise the money privately or go to a bank?
No, there are different ways, and there are a great many different ways to find the money. There, even as Chris and I were talking about before the program aired today, we've talked about 401k conversions. A lot of people that are coming out of
America,
you can capitalize on your 401k, and you know, looking at the performance on Wall Street, do you trust the market or do you trust yourself to hold on to your money? So you can work through a program with companies like Benetrends or Guidant Financial Services that will enable you to legally convert the money you've accumulated in your 401k and make it available to you to capitalize your dream.
Right. And with that, a lot of people don't know there's no penalties. You're not going to pay a 10% IRS penalty. There's not going to be taxation on the money, but they set up the structure where you leverage your retirement capital into the business.
Exactly correct.
There have been some recent studies coming out saying that for salaried employees, having unlimited vacation is actually increasing productivity.
Yeah, come on.
So for you, for a salaried employee, unlimited vacation, hot or not?
You know, limited vacation, if you're a franchise owner, yes, that you got to have a very limited vacation. The truth is, if you open a franchise business, your mentality needs to be forget about vacation. You're having another child. You're giving birth to a child. Who has a kid and then takes off for 3 weeks on vacation? That child's going to need you and need a lot of your time and need it on call, on duty, 24/7. Who knows what you're going to have to be doing for the first few years?
Yeah. Well, isn't the reality, too, if you look at a franchise, let's say a big one like the UPS store, that in most of those places, even if the franchisee gets a business up and going, to make the math work, you probably have one full-time store employee manager, maybe a part-time person when holiday season gets bigger, right? So if they get unlimited vacation, then you're basically back there. You've got to go milk the cows and do all the work.
Well, and this is why it's so important when you decide about a franchise that you're going to acquire to understand what's expected of you. What role are you playing in that business? How engaged and how involved do you have to be in that business for it to make the money you want it to make and to deliver the services that the marketplace is looking for?
Because you'll hear people spout off and say, yeah, I got a bunch of money. I think I'm just going to buy, you know, a McDonald's or something like that. And I don't have to do anything until you realize that a place like that, don't you have to go into Hamburger U and you have to like scrub the toilets and you have to do every job? I mean, there's a world-class screening system to find out that you're not, you know, I'm not saying you're an a-hole, but you'd have to find out that, you know, you're not the kind of person that's going to blow up their brand.
But McDonald's is the perfect example because even at the McDonald's brand, which is, you know, one of the most widely acclaimed brands in franchising, it says in your franchise agreement, this is your business. You are engaged in your business. You are not flipping the burgers and you're probably not taking out the trash, but you're on your P&Ls. You are engaged in this as your day-to-day business. If it's a single unit or, you know, a dozen stores, McDonald's is your business.
So hot or not, purchasing multi-unit at first or waiting to see if you're successful and then slowly growing?
For different reasons, both of those formulas can work. I mean, people who are like an Aziz Hashim, who came to KSU, you know, he's a multi-flag, multi-unit operator. He might be looking to buy 8 or 10 stores at a time, but he's got the wherewithal to do it. You know, the business of who you are and what you're bringing to the table greatly dictates whether you're a single-unit operator growing into it or if you're a multi-unit empire builder who's already got an empire and looking to add on to it. Both are correct. They're just different sets of circumstances that would drive the answer to your question.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. You've been listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in the Business Radio X Networks. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. When we come back with Stan Friedman, president of FRM Solutions, we've learned a ton about franchising today. I want to find out from Stan the worst single franchise that he's ever seen. We'll be back here right on The Shrimp Tank.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures worth of bills, or make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now's the time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting today. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to get started. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. And I guess you probably can make six figures of bills if you live in Atlanta. People do that pretty easy. Call it two Range Rovers and dining out. You'll get there quickly. We come to you live every Thursday right here in the Business Radio X Networks in Sandy Spring, bringing to you some of the brightest and best CEOs all around the state of Georgia. Georgia, business is growing here like crazy in Atlanta. It's been unbelievable, the growth of entrepreneurship. And Stan, before we get to our Plead the Fifth section, because I know Chris has probably got a good one. He's been high up on the stump factor here for the Plead the Fifth. I'm wondering if you might tell us a little bit about what FRM Solutions, what you guys do, how you're involved with franchisees, what the business is about.
FRM is an acronym for Franchise Relationship Management, and it basically is CRM for franchising. So we are We are an extension of Microsoft Dynamics CRM.
Oh yeah,
with a lot of time and money invested in extending it to be specifically aligned with the franchise business model. So for franchisors that are trying to track the 20 or 30 prospects at a time that they're working with that are looking at their brand, our tool is designed for that. We provide an experience for the candidates, too, to learn about the brand between their scheduled phone calls with representatives of the brand. And so all of that is tracked in CRM, the activity that the prospects are conducting, the digital assets that they're looking at between scheduled calls. All that comes back to a franchise development person's dashboard, helps them see who's engaged, who's doing the homework, who's doing the things they should
be. So if they're prospecting 300 people out there, they can stay on that database and match themselves up with the right prospects and take them down that pipeline.
Separate the wheat from the chaff in a hurry, see who really is doing the stuff they should be doing. And then for existing franchised relationships, then there's content to manage as well as contacts. Now you've got documents, you've got legal entities that bought your franchise, you've got legal and compliance, you've got triggers and alerts for anniversary dates on insurance policies and locations and leases and letters of intent. So it manages, helps franchisors keep their eye on the top and bottom line growth initiatives of their business and let automation take care of things that can return some cycles of their time back to them.
And that matters, right? Because somebody who owns a franchise is generally either going to sell it to another franchisee who's sucking up more of those franchises, or eventually maybe sell it back to the parent company, right?
All of the above can happen. But, you know, having a vehicle to manage your business and to know where things are and to have your KPIs and to have all of your metrics available so that you can properly grow the business as the franchisor and not waste time pushing paper around instead of keeping your eye on sustainable growth.
That's pretty cool stuff. That is really cool. Very cool. Well, let's get into the Plead the Fifth section. I did this as a little tease at the break, and we might as well hit it here because it seems like I've seen a lot of good franchises, a lot of bad ones that are out there. Any that would be low on the list of saying ones that you think are either out of business now or that you saw that were just terrible franchises?
I wouldn't name names by brands. I will tell you that the franchises that don't succeed are not always about the brand. They're usually about the operator.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I've seen locations with, you know, when I was representing Blimpy here in Georgia, we had
Blimpy.
One store in Georgia. When I was VP of Global Development for Blimpy, we had one store that failed three times. Bought on the courthouse steps three times. The fourth guy into that store became number one operator in Atlanta, number one operator in the state of Georgia, number one operator in the entire Blimpy system. Nothing changed except the operator. Execution, execution.
Wow.
So what is the most egregious sales tactic you've seen somebody do in an attempt to sell a franchise?
Oh, wow. That's tough. You know, franchising is regulated to help mitigate from that happening. you know, if you're not engaging people and giving them the real story, right side, left side of the brain need to be in harmony. You need to be managing their expectations correctly. And if you're not doing those things, shame on you. And hopefully the candidate for the franchise discovers that before they sign on any dotted lines.
Yeah. How about the biggest franchise war that's going on right now? I had in my head somewhere along the way that it was Quiznos and Subway, but what's the biggest franchise war going on right now?
Well, the biggest franchise war going on just ended. It was Trump and Clinton, but that's over.
But is it over, Stan?
It's over.
Will Trump be good, do you think, for franchisees?
It's funny.
Is he making franchising great again?
Franchising
is going to be huge. Huge.
That's not huge. It's huge.
Huge.
Huge with a Y, right?
Huge.
Listen, Donald Trump is responsible for franchising right now having the best fourth quarter it's had and the greatest hope for the first quarter of the new year. And I don't say that from a political bias so much as I do a regulatory one. Franchising has been under attack for the past year. The National Labor Relations Board, joint employment, all of these issues have become existential threats to the business model that is franchising. With Donald Trump in office, I really believe that we've got hope that some of those regulatory burdens are going to be lifted. I mean,
is there anything that he hasn't liked to put his name on? He's done water, he's done airlines, he's done steaks, he's done jackets, hotels. I mean, everything puts his name on anything.
Listen, God bless him. He's an entrepreneur, you know?
Yeah, suing a wall, you know, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, sir, if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and you had all of your knowledge and experience that you've accumulated, but only $1,000, what would you do in the next week?
What is this? Like, what kind of sign would you be on the road or something like that? Let me hear that question again.
Right. So, if you had all the knowledge and experience, right, that you've accumulated, but no business, you had $1,000, what would you do in the next week moving forward?
I try to make the $1,002. I mean, I would literally, $1,000 is a good place to start. But listen, trying to get into business undercapitalized is probably the worst thing that anybody could do. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have what it takes to get your dream in motion, then you have to keep doing what it takes to turn that 1,000 into 2 and that 2 into 4 and continue doing what it takes to be overcapitalized and not need it all, as opposed to being undercapitalized and scraping.
Right.
It's just as it starts, as it goes. And if you go in undercapitalized, it's not usually going to end well.
Outside of bankruptcy, is divorce the worst thing that could ever happen to a business owner?
You know, it can, but you know, it's like anything else in life. In fact, I liken franchise relationships to marriages in a great many ways. You're signing on to something for the long term, and it takes commitment, and it takes support, and it takes spousal participation, even if they're not involved in the business.
Right.
If you don't have support at home, you're going to be going into your business that needs your smile and your passion a little bit dampened down every day.
Because a lot of people don't realize the franchising, right? Generally, don't most of the large franchising companies take a piece of the action off the top for a national advertising campaign or things like that? It's not like you're sitting back there thinking up how to advertise, right?
Exactly. I mean, you're making contributions to a national ad fund. You're paying recurring fees known as royalties. You're in a position where the franchisor is not making 10 cents until you've made a dollar, until you've earned a dollar. So you're paying off the top, and it takes your full-time participation, involvement, engagement, and understanding that you're in a relationship, just like a marriage, that you've got to look for the long-term win in it, and it's a day at a time.
Yeah. Well, and I'll get to my hot or not, but it always annoyed me I've only owned 2 franchises in my life, but when people would say that franchising is not really entrepreneurship, when my house was on the line, when I'm still got all of the burden of payroll and all the burden of ownership, you know, just like as if when I've owned my businesses that were not franchises, I've paid consultants, I've paid for help in the same way, I've paid royalties, I've paid a franchise fee. But either way, I want to learn from the best practices of the best people, and I'll do that through franchising or through whoever. So that was always just a pet peeve of mine, when I say, well, that's not really a business. Like, really? It's really a mortgage that I have to support. It's really payroll that I have to hit every single week.
I would say that the difference between franchising being or not being a business is a moot point. But there is a difference between the entrepreneur, the true entrepreneur, and a successful franchisee. There may be a bit of a break there, because the true entrepreneur wants to be all things. He wants to mold the clay. He wants to invent everything himself. He wants to do it all. In a franchise business, you want the entrepreneurial spirit. You want somebody who does want to be, again, in business for themselves, but they don't necessarily want to be there by themselves. So they don't have to take the time to do all the clay molding and all the things that a true entrepreneur just can't seem to ever let go of. Their role is to execute on the plan that's been put in front of them, the playbook that's already been written. And executing against that takes still the entrepreneurial spirit. You're putting money at risk. You're putting time at risk. But you're mitigating against that risk because you're not hoping that the invention that you created will work. It's already been proven to work.
Yeah. Okay, so I led that with like a rant on something that annoyed me. But what's the most annoying thing to you about the franchising industry?
I think the most annoying thing is the misrepresentation of what franchising really is. I think the most annoying thing to me is people not understanding that the franchise business down the street, although it has a national name on top of the store, is really your next door neighbor. It's really the kids down the street from you that are working inside that business. It is not a corporate big entity. It's small business, and it's the collective interdependency of people working together to create the opportunity for everyone to succeed in a shared brand as stakeholders in that brand. Most people just don't get that. And the fact, yeah. the government for the past year or two has been the prime offender of not getting that.
Yeah, isn't it like 40 cents out of every retail dollar, something like that, is spent in a franchise?
Oh, yeah.
On the retail side?
The stats are amazing. In fact, here in Georgia, the stats are even more amazing. When you look at 27,000 establishments in Georgia that are franchised, 276,000 jobs, $9.1 billion in payroll, and the GDP's, the contribution to the GDP in Georgia through all things associated, $13.3 billion. So franchising is small business, but that's a whole lot of pennies that are adding up to a great many dollars.
Well, Stan, for people that are listening to the show today and heard more about just your amazing expertise on the franchising business, but they actually are franchising right now, how could they get in touch with you about using your CRM system or the FRM system in this case and installing in their business so they can grow their business faster, better, and make less mistakes?
Well, they're going to have to be a franchisor.
Franchisor, right. So it's like a...
We do business with.
Got it.
Yeah. So we're right here in Atlanta. We're headquartered in Buckhead, and I can be found at my website, frmsolutions.com, easily enough. And my profile on LinkedIn is pretty public and easily found as well. So those are the best ways to find me.
Well, folks, if you're looking for a best-in-class franchise CRM system, that's what Stan has, and that's a way to grow your business. Get it done right. Let's think about this. One mistake with getting the wrong person, the wrong place could totally blow up your brand. And having something like this to help you screen it out better could be a huge win. So thanks, Stan, for coming on the program. We're going to be bringing you the post-show wrap-up in just a minute. We'll be doing Stan on video. You can see all those on YouTube. Obviously, download us on iTunes for the Shrimp Tank and listen to the entire broadcast of Stan if you miss it on shrimptankpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to bring you one of our good friends, Tony Marzullo, who owns Global Auto Solutions. I'll tell you what, there's nobody that knows more I've ever met about buying and selling a car than Tony Marzullo. So we look forward to seeing him and having all of you with us next week right here on the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.